Okay, I'm going to call our meeting to order. Our city attorney is here. Like I said, we can start late, but we can never start early. Okay? So I'm going to call our meeting to order, but before we go any further, I'm going to have our council member Bob Noel to lead us in a word of prayer, please.
Yeah, pardon me. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings that He's given for our community. He's given for our community, Lord. We know you're there and we know you support us, Lord. Go with us as we do the city's business tonight. Guide us in that way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mayor, Council Member Bob Noel. All right, at this time, we're going to get right into our agenda. And I will make an announcement here. We can only go with our agenda. There will be no public comments. On a special called meeting, you cannot have public comments. That is correct.
If it's not on the agenda.
If it's not on the agenda, okay? All right, so I'm going to turn it over to Melora Development on the economic incentives request. Y'all may speak, please.
All right. Mr. Mayor, Council, thanks for having us again. I feel like we've been seeing a lot of each other lately. I wanted to point out just these renderings that we were able to come up with. Now, these are not official architectural renderings, as we mentioned before. This is what my good buddy ChatGPT was able to help me with over the last few days. And so not everything's exactly, like, you know, this layout's not going to match the layout that I gave you up there, but we wanted to try to get you something, you know, to look at here, kind of what the final product's going to be, and at least get a feeling for what the quality of the complex would be. So I want to begin by noting that incentives like the one that we're requesting tonight are not new or unusual. Cities like Paducah and Hopkinsville use similar agreements every day to support public utility infrastructure that drives long-term growth. Hopkinsville sewer provider, HWEA, even has a built-in sewer credit program available to anyone expanding the public sewer system. It's common practice and it's successful in incentivizing development. And the city of Katy's even has its own economic development incentive program, which is what we are basing our incentive request on. So framing the project, Melior Development is committed to building a project that aligns with Katy's growth goals. Our current proposed location is partially inside the city limits, but there is no sewer access to the south side of Main Street at this location, and as a result, there has never been significant development there. Almost every other property along this stretch of Main Street that does have sewer access has already been developed, and I've actually got a diagram of the sewer infrastructure here. So as you can see here, so this is our approximate location right here. And you can see this big tract right here where there's no, these blue lines indicate sewer lines. And you can see right here that there are no sewer lines running through here and thus no development. And so we are trying to install infrastructure that's going to help that, not only for our project, but for others. So, as I mentioned, the lack of infrastructure is a barrier. What we are proposing is an approximate $400,000 sewer infrastructure installation, either through a gravity flow or a public lift station, that could potentially serve the entire length of that side of the road. This would not just serve our project, but would open the door for future developments on existing city property on which sewer is currently unavailable. This project is part of an $11 million development, an investment that will directly benefit Katy's in ways far beyond the 38 new family apartments it will bring. Many of those dollars will be spent here in Katy's during construction and operation. The project will have at least 1 to 2 permanent employees and will require ongoing services such as mowing, landscaping, repairs, and cleaning. Work that will almost certainly be done by local vendors. That means more jobs, more contracts, and more dollars staying in Katy's. And here's the larger challenge. Katy's and Trigg County currently have little to no available housing. Our project offers 38 households who will live in Katy's, spend money in Katy's, and hopefully work in Katy's. If the city were to land a new factory or fill the currently vacant spec building with another commercial venture, there are few feasible housing options for the employees that would follow. they would likely have to commute from other counties, taking their spending power with them. Our project ensures that 38 more families can call Katie's home, keeping both the people and their economic impact here in the community. We understand there are concerns, and I'd like to address them directly. So we've heard concerns about having to dig under the road. Before this meeting, we were able to talk to John Goodwin about establishing an easement that could potentially lead us to not having to dig up the road in order to make this sewer installation. So if we can do that, we're certainly going to explore that through an easement. Proximity to the water line. This is a matter for engineering design. A licensed engineer would prepare the final plans to ensure the water line is fully protected. We don't want to mess up the water line. Those safeguards are part of standard utility coordination and construction, and they're done successfully in projects like this every day. Additional sewer flow. A couple months ago, we consulted with city engineer Frank Williams to make sure that the small amount of flow of additional flow generated by our Plan 38 apartments would not have a significant impact on the city's current sewer infrastructure or treatment plant capacity. That letter was whenever we were on the East Nell property, but we're using the same manhole in order to get sewer access for this new property. And back whenever we were going through this process and confirming that we could, that the city's sewer infrastructure could take on the additional flow, we got a letter signed by both Frank Williams and the mayor, Todd King, saying that it could.
This is signed by
Craig. Signed by Craig, not Frank, sorry. Yes. My apologies. Signed by Craig, the Public Works Director. So for our next issue, use of public funds for a private business. We've heard this concern many times, and we agree. City tax dollars should not simply be given to private for-profit businesses. But that is not what we are asking for. We are making a significant investment in public infrastructure, infrastructure the city will own and benefit from for decades. We are simply asking for a portion of that investment to be reimbursed over time after the city has already received tax revenue from the project. Without this arrangement, the city would likely never have the capability to make this $400,000 infrastructure improvement on its own. So now I want to specifically state our request. Tonight we're asking for a reimbursement agreement consisting of reimbursement of documented eligible public infrastructure installation costs related to the extension of the city sewer system up to a maximum of $12,000 per year for 10 years, payable only after the project is complete and after city taxes are paid on an annual basis. We would expect to receive reimbursement that equates to the amount collected from real estate taxes due from our development on an annual basis, even if it falls below the $12,000 maximum threshold. If the property tax is assessed for $10,000, we pay $10,000, we're reimbursed $10,000. If property taxes assessed are $15,000, we're reimbursed for $12,000. So it's not to go above that $12,000 maximum threshold.
I'm so sorry.
You're fine.
Totally fine. It happens.
It was a better show with music. No worries.
So therefore, with that maximum threshold, that gives you an idea of at most what the city would have to reimburse us for. There's no upfront cost, no financial risk. The city pays only when it's receiving new revenue from the project and benefiting from the public infrastructure updates. Once the 10-year reimbursement period is completed, the city's expenditures would cease and the new revenues generated would be realized as a net positive. Our second request, a resolution of support. This would be a letter essentially stating that the city supports our project And we would attach that to our application to the Kentucky Housing Corporation for this project in order to help make our, strengthen our application. Third, we would want a commitment letter detailing the economic incentives being offered by the city so that we can include it with our KHC application just to show that you are committed to providing those. Fourth and lastly, a commitment letter affirming the city's commitment to approve annexation of the portion of our property that is currently located in the county and that the current zoning of B2 is appropriate for multifamily residential complex that we are proposing to attach, that we are proposing in order to attach to our KHC application. So I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but our property is currently partially in the city, partially in the county. And so we are wanting to annex the portion that's in the county.
What's that acreage, Ty? Do you know?
About 1 to 4. 1 acre in the city, 4 acres in the county.
So why is this a smart investment for the city of Katy's? While we are asking for incentives, this project will generate an estimated additional $40,000 a year in county real estate taxes, which both residents of the city and county benefit. These include the local school system, which based on our initial estimates would be around $29,000 per year, the ambulance service, the hospital, library, and then uses for the general fiscal court taxes, you know, county roads, things like that, that all of Trigg County benefits from. Trigg County and Katy's are a small community, and we know that you all work together, and everybody tries to get along and, you know, to make sure that the area is strong and continues to be that way. And so this would bring a significant amount of contributions to the local government. The property that we intend to build on currently draws annual county property taxes of $28.44 on an annual basis, and city property taxes of $6.61 on an annual basis. So this would be a substantial increase in tax revenues. And remember, after the initial 10-year period, the property taxes are a net realized gain. Without this project, none of these additional funds will be generated. The $400,000 public utility infrastructure estimate was provided through discussion as a rough figure by the city engineer, Frank Lee. This is an incredibly wise financial investment for the city, one that delivers a long-term public asset and steady revenue stream. And remember, this is part of an $11 million in total investment in Katy's that will create an ongoing local spending on maintenance, services, and staffing, in addition to leading to a higher volume of consumers spending dollars within Katy's and Trigg County. When you compare this total project investment that includes a $400,000 public utility improvement to the $12,000 annual per year reimbursement, the value to Katy's is undeniable. I think it's fair to say that, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot and you all were able to provide us $400,000 in value and we would only have to reimburse $12,000 per year, we would take that deal any day of the week. Mayor King, when we first met several months ago, you told us point blank, I want this in Katy's. And you asked what the city could do to make it happen. Our answer then was simple, and it hasn't changed. We must have the city of Katy's support and a financial contribution. Both are critical to scoring high enough to win the funding award with the Kentucky Housing Corporation. Look, this, like I said, this is an $11 million project. If, you know, if we could make it work without it, $120,000 is not going to hold us up on that. We are only here asking you for this because we need it in order to get our application through with the Kentucky Housing Corporation. Without the funding points associated with this financial contribution, we will not score high enough to bring this project to Katy's. So tonight, we believe a vote yes by the council says we want this project, we want the housing, we want the infrastructure, and we want the economic growth. A vote no tonight says, we don't want this. We are willing to turn away thousands of new tax dollars for Katy's, 38 new family residences, the immediate economic boost from development construction, and the long-term benefits of 38 new families living here, working here, and spending their dollars in our community. We respectfully ask you to choose yes and help us to make this project, along with all the benefits it brings, a reality for Katy's. That's all I've got.
So what you're saying, Ty, is the only thing that you want from the city of Katy's is 10 years of property taxes incentive that we will take it from you and in turn write you a check. If it's over $12,000, then you owe us that. You're not asking
for anything. Whatever the property taxes were assessed, we're going to pay those. If it's $15,000, we pay $15,000. And then the reimbursement for the sewer infrastructure costs are maxed at 12. So that's, you know, $3,000 difference there.
So you're saying there's no other cost to the city except for this?
No.
When you apply for this, I probably should know this, but do you receive, I know you're going to receive like, okay, do it or not. You receive money from the state?
No, so the funding comes from the federal government through tax credits, and it's administered through the Kentucky Housing Corporation. So that's how it works in every state. It goes through the state agency. And so what happens there, essentially you have another investor that purchases the tax credits. And then you get a portion of that money up front because they want to make sure that you're going to be able to build the development. And then the rest is funded through construction loan. And then or potentially additional state funding if we're able to get it.
Okay, so there is an amount of money that comes through from this application?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll find out, we should find out in January whether or not the project's awarded.
And those tax credits are purchased by banks and institutional investors.
Correct. That's correct.
For projects just like this.
Just like this, all over the country. It's a program that's been in place since the 80s.
Yeah.
And it's a bipartisan program.
And one more thing. If those tax credits don't get spent on projects like this here, they are going to be spent on projects just like this somewhere else.
Yes, sir.
Outside of this county.
Yes, that's correct. Hopkinsville is very good at getting them.
Very good. Do you usually see this 10-year that people, like in Hopkinsville, other places, that they're giving you as much as 10 years in the tax incentives?
Yeah, it can range from 5, 10, 15 years. It really just depends. Every government, just depending on the specific situation, has it differently. There's different programs that they go to, a pilot program, or, you know, some have a TIF.
But you're saying like that people are doing this
infrastructure. Yes, it's very common because it's a way to get developers to invest in Western Kentucky. And, I mean, there's obviously this happens in big cities as well. But, we've seen it in Paducah, Hopkinsville. And, I mean, obviously, Katy's has its own local economic development incentive ordinance, too, and it's there for that purpose.
What do you think your chances are of getting approval with the city backing?
With the city backing, I mean, I can't give you a rough percentage, but we think we have a very strong application. We don't believe there's anyone else in the state that's going to have as rural a project as this. You know, Emma's Rose was the last project that was approved for this program in this area. It was for senior living. There hasn't been a family living project through this program in I don't even know how many years, if ever. And so we think we have a very strong application. And with the city's backing, along with all of the potential funding that's there, and just the lack of with the demand for housing, we think we have a very strong application.
I have a question. Another. If you've got, you said you'd have a couple of people employed that would mow and yada yada, but after when you complete the project and after these years have passed, will you still be paying those people? Or does somebody else take it over like us?
Yes, ma'am. You're required by KHC to maintain this property in that order for a period of 30 years. And so they come in and audit you every year to make sure you have those people in place to take care of that.
You so say you all are.
Yes, ma'am. Right. We are. We are required to maintain that property in order. We're inspected every year. If we're required to have to set how much aside every year for repairs and maintenance? It's a lot.
$27,000
a year aside for repairs and maintenance by the KHC. We're required to maintain the property in very nice order, very similar to the property here already. All of that stuff is dictated by Kentucky, and we are required to maintain it in that manner.
If you fall out of compliance, you essentially have to pay the money back.
Yes.
It's pretty important. So we would, just like Emma's Rose, they use Beacon Property Management, manages Emma's Rose. We've got a third-party property manager that specializes in affordable housing who's going to manage the property.
And can you sell or divest yourself of this property within that 30 years, or do you have to maintain ownership of it?
We can. It's very complicated to get out. Basically, it's truthfully death or divorce.
Okay.
It's very challenging to get out of that.
Yeah, there's a 15-year initial compliance period where the federal government essentially, you know, makes sure that you stay in compliance or you lose the tax credits. In the additional 15 years, typically the project's going to stay in there for additional 15 years because it's very difficult to get out of. But with the type of funding we're trying to receive from the state, we have to have a 30-year deed restriction where we're definitely.
And if someone else were to come in, were to take ownership, they would have the same requirements that you have?
They have the same program.
Okay.
Okay. So it's going to be in that program?
It's going to be in that program for 30 years.
Yes. Yep. Regardless. Okay.
Because the state and the government, the state and federal government, they do not want to build this project and then lose it after 15 years.
So otherwise, nothing will be changing?
No.
So after 30 years, it could change?
After 30 years.
Potentially.
Okay, I have another question. I almost forgot it. Not this. This amount of money that you're asking for, for us to provide back to you, you pay taxes.
Yes.
Is this a? You know, we'd have to check around and find out. But this seems like a large amount to me. More than maybe I would expect from the size of our town and all that would have to be obligated to in this way. So I guess what I'm asking is, well, have you done this in another city our size?
This is their first project.
Yeah, I'll say this is probably the smallest city we've worked in.
Isn't this your first project?
And it's a small city.
In the LIHTC program, yes. The incentives are available to whether you're doing affordable housing or market rent. Either way. So it's the same incentive program.
Well, it's not the same in that some are bigger than others.
Yeah, no, that's
some
correct.
Some are smaller.
No, that's correct.
And so that's what I'm addressing. This seems like a sizable amount, a large amount from our size city to return.
Yes.
Instead of keeping it.
So I can speak to that for the city of Paducah. For the city of Paducah, we were involved in a project where we went in and built roads, streets, extended sewer utilities, things like that. So the infrastructure in that was about $500,000 of investment in that. And into that, we were returned. It didn't quite get there because our taxes didn't get high enough to cover the entire investment. But basically, we maxed out that amount, which was probably like $30,000 a year in tax revenue that they paid back to us, because we only get the same to see over a period of 10 years. So we made a $500,000 investment. I think it was a $300,000 recoup over 10 years.
And of course, Duke is much bigger than we are.
Right. Yes.
And so that's a sizable amount in itself. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if you put it on the scale, you know, Paducah returned this much, we returned this much, or we're down here. I just think our return should be less than other places that are much bigger.
You mean less years?
No, less amount of money.
Less amount of money, okay.
No,
I take less years too.
Yeah.
No, and I understand that. So based on the scoring, we have to get, the higher the dollar amount, the better we score. Mm-hmm. It's a sliding scale, 0 to 15 points. And so if there are applications in Lexington and Louisville that are getting similar types of funding, we're competing with them. And so obviously we're not trying to get to that level of a dollar amount. We're mainly worried about showing the city support. But what we're trying to demonstrate, I understand, $120,000, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to me. That's a lot of money to the city. I totally understand that. But at the same time, with the infrastructure and the benefit that's going to bring to allow other businesses, other commercial entities to come in and develop on those properties, and there's already sewer access there, we just think that's a huge benefit to the city. And then also, these are tax revenues that you all do not have right now. And so we're not asking for anything out of your pocket on this day. We're saying once our development is placed into service, then we'll pay property taxes just like everybody else. We'll get a reimbursement for that amount up to the $12,000. And so we understand it's different than probably what you're used to. And we totally understand that and understand that there is thought that has to go into it. But at the same time, the benefit to the city, I think, is obvious. And especially now with this new project with the increased sewer costs, we think the value of the city and just being able to develop that commercial area is quite substantial. And if our project doesn't come, who's to say that those future tax revenues are going to be there? Because after the 10 years, that property taxes are coming to the city. There's no money going out the door related to the installment that it costs $120,000, and that's it. You've got that asset, you've got new tax revenues coming in.
So that $400,000 that you're estimating on the sewer, is that something you're shouldering yourself, all yourself?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes. We're absorbing the additional cost. You know, our ask is the same as it was on previous property. And so we know this is going to be an extremely higher cost, and we are willing to absorb that because we don't want to ask the city for any more than what we already have.
If your application is approved, when do you anticipate starting the project?
We probably try to start it by maybe August, September of
26.
So your completion would be?
We would like to have it done by midsummer of 27. So July 27.
Another thing with the program, you only have a set amount of period to get the project done. They don't want to let you drag it out over 3 to 5 years. So I think they want you to do it 1 year from the project award date, but you can get an extension for up to 2 years, I believe it is.
You also said something about this refund, whatever, that you get, that you mentioned the county and the money. I mean, I didn't understand where that came in, because all that would come to the city.
Talking about the tax dollars to the county?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's true. Technically on paper, that has nothing to do with the city. We're just trying to show that there is a public benefit, maybe not to city residents, but there are to county residents.
No, you said it doesn't have anything to do with the city? I missed where you were going there.
No. So, talking about the $40,000 of additional tax revenue to the county, is that what you're talking about?
No, the, well, I was thinking about that. I was just mentioning that the taxes that you want refunded will be from us, city taxes.
Correct. That's correct.
Which are much lower than county taxes. They are.
In totality, yes.
Yes.
But with the county tax, it's broken up between so many different tax boards. And so we'd have to go to the school board, hospital board, library board, ambulance board, all trying to get these tax incentives, and there's just no way that we could have got it all to come together.
And we don't need that, to be honest with you. So we don't want to take what we don't need.
Well, that was my point, since you didn't throw them out, but you know, you mentioned them. I'm like, well, what? How are they involved?
But Ms. Bryant, those are tax dollars that will be coming to us as a result of this development that are not today and will not without development on that piece of property.
Right, but I didn't know if there was some kind of division that you were referencing in terms of the tax dollars and who they were returned to. You're going to write a check at Katy's in Texas.
For ad valorem.
Oh, you're talking about property taxes?
Yes.
So we're going to pay property taxes to everybody that required them. We're going to pay city property taxes. We're going to pay county property taxes. It's just the reimbursement related to the city's infrastructure installment that we're going to do is just related to the amount of property taxes collected on an annual basis.
Yes, that's what I just clicked with me.
Okay.
The county is going to be, they're going to receive the same kind of benefits that we do, more, because they're taxed.
They'll keep those.
What?
They would keep their tax money.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That,
but you're talking about the school board, the hospital tax.
No, I'm just talking about, let's just say...
There won't be any county tax because the property is intended to be annexed into the city.
Don't you still pay property tax to the county?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, small portion, right? And
no, the county's three times bigger than the city.
Okay.
It would just be an additional, either pay county tax...
I'm looking at the county tax rates right here. I have those if y'all would like to.
Oh, I know what I buy.
Well, it's the county is actually considerably smaller.
Yeah. Well, so on the general fiscal court side, so let's hold on to say.
Okay.
So the school, most of the county's taxes are the school board. We would not be able to go to the school board and ask them to give us incentive. It's you know, kids are going to live in these here in this development, and you're trying to get that from the school board, and I think everybody would agree with that. And so that's essentially where a lot of the county tax goes.
So Ty, by you changing properties, you're going to be spending more money to get this project started than you was over there on East Noah, correct?
Yes, sir.
Significantly more.
Yes.
I guess what I'm still trying to get to is why isn't the county helping also?
Well,
because they're going to receive the same benefits.
They're going to receive benefits as well.
Right, and I'm not downing them.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I think what we're doing is so high that while maybe Eddie talks to the county about putting in a portion or reimbursing?
Well, man, the reimbursement is for the sewer. The sewer is owned by the city, not the county. So we can't, there's nothing for us to get reimbursed from the county. The sewer system is owned by the city.
So, what we're looking at is, if the city pays you this money, as part of the agreement, what you have is tangible sewer. So lift station, sewer connections belong to the city. They are essentially doing the work, and we are paying them and reimbursing them for our sewer. And I'm just a few little fine details on that I have questions about. So if it's going to be a public infrastructure for the sewer, I'd be looking for something big enough on that side of the road to plug into. And I'm a little apprehensive because I'm sure the lift station with everything that we would want is well above this $120,000 ask, is my concern.
Well, we estimate, after speaking with Frank, a lift station adequate enough for the city would be about $300,000 for the lift station itself, and then probably an additional $100,000 to connect it to the existing manhole.
So what you're asking the council for is $120,000 return to you so that we own $400,000 worth of new sewer infrastructure.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
If it costs that much.
You're talking about 25 cents on the dollar for us to expand our sewer to the other side of Main Street as an investment.
And you see that as a good thing.
Well, I have something tangible.
Right.
Because the question is, if we were just to do random property tax rebates for everyone, where do we stop? Because if we were to do that for you guys, the next guys would come along and be like, I want you to do the same thing. Versus this, the next guy comes along and says, I want $120,000 paid back to me. Great. build me $400,000 worth of infrastructure that I own from day one.
Okay.
That's a great way to look at it.
That's what it cost. That's what it cost to get this. So now we have something to point at. If the next guy wants to come along and take $120,000 for $400,000 worth of infrastructure and work, I'll take that deal all day long.
To make it side by side with this deal.
The only thing I see with it is we would have to improve the $120,000 a year. But on the other side, we don't know exactly how you're going to do it yet either. Because if you elevate the property, then you wouldn't need a lift station. Correct?
After talking with Frank, we're not entirely certain that would be economical. Because of the amount of infill, the expense of running a gravity sewer across the road, and by the time that we do that, it wouldn't be low enough to service all of the buildings on our property. So by the time we bring in another $150,000 or $200,000 worth of fill on our property, it's the same price for us, and we would rather have it public and maintained. So I think after talking with Frank the other day, we decided the best route for everyone is a public lift station.
So are you committing to the public lift station?
As long as we can have it engineered. And an engineer signs off on it, and it works. And I'm looking at Frank, because if we can't do that, we can't have sewer at the property, period. So this is all for nothing, to be honest with you.
Because I would add that caveat in there, too. I would want our engineer that we consult with to sign off on it before we made the first payment. Yes, this is what we agreed to. This is what will support our...
And that's a very, very usual... It has to be approved by the city. The designs have to be approved by the city before we ever get city access. That's almost standard protocol across anywhere. I mean, that's standard protocol.
But Ty, I believe, if I ain't mistaken, back a few weeks ago, y'all went to the county... And the county denied you all, correct?
No.
They did not explicitly deny us, no.
They said no.
They didn't take a vote.
They never went to fiscal court.
Yeah.
No, they never went to fiscal court.
You just talked
because the county can give economic incentives.
Yeah, so we spoke to Judge Humphreys. We met with him a couple of times. He asked us for certain information. We provided said information. He said he would get back to us once they made a decision on how they wanted to proceed, and we never heard back from him.
To be honest with you, that dollar amount was so small when we were so stretched on time that we focused our resources and stuff here because it was the way that we could get a tangible incentive reimbursement. Through them, it's an economic, and I just don't know that the economic for them would have been good. We weren't providing them jobs. So, you know, we didn't pursue it because we didn't feel like it was only going to be like $3,000.
Yeah, it's going to be $3,000 or $4,000 because, like I said, the county tax are spread out between so many different boards that you're not going to get every board to side with you. If you look at the general fiscal court tax, it's the smallest percentage. And so, even if we were able to get that, it honestly wouldn't help our application that much.
Yeah, I just made a couple notes and. So I'll say my piece here. So to me, it's not necessarily the $120,000. It is that these developers are asking for our support for this project as a council. And they have to have that support in order to qualify for KHC to award this project. The cost to us for that support is basically $120,000. That's the maximum exposure over 10 years. $12,000 a year. In reality, because it's based on ad valorem property tax, it's going to wind up being less than $120,000 over the course of that 10 years because of the time frames of valuation of property. So taxes aren't being collected today, except at a very minimal level. They may not ever be collected if that property is not annexed into the city and is not developed. And it's not going to be developed until there's a solution for sewer and water on the south side of 68 in that property area. So they are providing a solution to an issue that is going to allow for future commercial and residential development along the main corridor in our city. The burden here is on them. If they have to spend more than $120,000 or $180,000 or $400,000 or $600,000 to put an adequate sewer system, connecting to the city's sewer system, and then turn that over to the city, that burden is on them, not on us. Our maximum exposure is the $120,000. So right now, we have an empty spec building that's sitting out in the industrial park. It is going to get filled at some point. I know those guys are working hard to try to get us somebody there. If that new company comes in here, we don't really have housing for future employees. This provides a solution for those folks, for teachers, for law enforcement officers, and others who are going to qualify or will qualify for these apartments. So I think any time, kind of like on the comparison that Jack was making, that we can put up $100,000 to get a $10 million investment in our community, if we don't agree to that, we don't move forward with something like that, we are not doing this community a service. So we don't have developers knocking on our door to build projects like this that fills a need that we all talk about, we hear about on social media all the time. And I think these guys have crafted a proposal that works for our city, that creates more value for our city. It's definitely going to create more value on the south side of 68 there, for the property owners that will sell that property at some point in the future for commercial and residential development. So I wrote out a motion to support this proposal that encapsulates their items that they have proposed for us, that is initiating the process of annexing, reimbursing these documented eligible public infrastructure expenses for, you know, the maximum of $12,000 a year for 10 years from the start of construction, providing a resolution, which they've given us some examples, resolution of support, and a written confirmation of this commitment. So depending on where we are in terms of discussion, I've got a motion when we're ready for that to
provide. Wait just a second. Provide. Craig Oakley, my public works director, wants to speak.
Ty, Mr. Landon, if y'all don't mind, do you think we'll still be at the 5.1 gallons per minute as y'all originally requested at the new site location? That's my only concern as far as flow.
You know, we do the energy efficiency programs, which requires the water cinch and water saver stuff. I do not anticipate any more than that. I mean, obviously, if somebody uses a water tub, a bathtub running for 24 hours, that might affect that. But on a general average consumption, we do not have any reason to believe.
Okay, I believe in our city engineer could probably know for sure in future discussion, but if you was to see that it could be more than that, I feel like we probably need to be, you know, let known because of our flow that it goes into another lift station area on Dean Street as well, and the amount of flow that it'll take.
Yes, sir. Yeah, in the motion, I'll put it in there to include letter from property owners and the survey of the property for the planning commission.
But with this, this is the only incentive you're looking for. That's
the only financial incentive, yes.
Because I knew we had some other incentives. Right.
Yeah, there was some confusion regarding the tap fee waivers. There was some confusion on the calculation.
And that was my confusion.
Yeah, there was confusion on the calculation of those, and so we went back to our consultants and said, if we just wipe this out, will we be okay with just the reimbursement, and we think we will be. So we just wiped those out of our request, and so those tap fees will be coming to the city.
Okay, Todd, go ahead now.
You want me to read this?
Yes.
Okay. So I move that the Cadiz City Council accept the proposal from Meliard Development for the lofts of Cadiz to, number one, initiate the process of annexing the portion of property to be acquired by Meliard at 2266 Main Street, U.S. Highway 68, that is not currently within the city limits, into the city with a designation of B2 Neighborhood Highway Business District. The existing property within the city limits that is contiguous with this parcel is currently designated as B2, Neighborhood Highway Business District. This annexation will require a request letter from the property owners and a current survey of the property for the Cadiz Trigg County Planning Commission. Number two, to reimburse documented eligible public infrastructure installation costs extension of the sewer line, lift station, etc., in relation to the city's current sewer system. This reimbursement is limited to the amount of ad valorem real property taxes generated by the property for a period of 10 years from the start of construction. The maximum reimbursement annually is equivalent to the actual ad valorem real property tax assessed, not to exceed $12,000 per year. Number three, to provide a resolution of support from the city to Meliar Development for the Kentucky Housing Corporation, including a commitment letter for city incentives to demonstrate the investment by the city in the proposed development. And number four, to provide written confirmation of the commitment of the city's plans to move forward with the Cadiz-Tree County Planning Commission to begin the annexation process for the portion of the development that is located in the county. Respectfully submitted, Todd Wallace.
And you're making a motion.
I'm making a motion.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
Brenda Price has seconded it, and then we'll go to a vote. Ms. Bryant?
I'm still thinking.
An additional discussion is permitted because it's a debatable motion.
Yeah, we can discuss the motion, or if anybody has an amendment to it. Or...
I mean, we can do this resolution before even the commission has done anything as far as annexation, right, as far as our support.
The resolution has no legal effect.
It just shows our support that we want to
proceed on.
Would proceed on, right?
Yes. Yeah. Todd's made a motion. We've got a second. Now we're going to a vote.
Well, I want it here. I mean, I think there's a need for it. My concern is in amount of money that we're reimbursing, because I think that's quite large, and I think that if someone else comes along, as we've set a precedent of something that we're going to do for maybe everybody, we don't have to, but that's the only thing that bothers me.
Well, the one thing I look at that is they're giving us more back than we're giving.
Right, you might be able to use that.
So if somebody else says, you know, I want this too. Well,
okay.
You give us four times
what
you
give
right.
back.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Okay, I'll
vote
yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Unanimous? It passed. Now, I'm going to go ahead. I don't have to do this. I'm going to do a roll call too. Ms. Bryant?
Yes.
Susie?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
We're all good. So the next thing is council comments. Anybody else have any comments, council members? If not,
I make a motion to adjourn.
Susan has made the motion. Brenda Price the second. Thank everybody for coming. Appreciate each and every one of you all.
To Jack.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Don't you yell at me.
Don't you yell at me.